Why not? Oh, okay. I didn't even notice. All righty then. They're great.
It's incredible.
You guys did so well this week. Kimmy, try to curb your enthusiasm, okay? I mean, it's just, it's a little much for me. So, what do you think was the difference between last week and this week? What was it?
I think actually having discussed some of those rules with the 1 and the 3 was helpful.
Yep.
Especially, I think, 3, because it just made me think, it also made me think more about, like, okay, there's a bunch of things, balance that, and can you go up or down? If not, the 3 would be appropriate.
Okay, good. You read your hand? Oh, I think you have.
I agree with Erin. I felt that last week, just, like, getting those anchor kind of, like, points down, and then also if I found myself spending way too much time like wondering, I mean, I was like, oh, it must be like more on the questionable side, and so that's how I was able to infer.
All right, good. Do you think that coding all of them was helpful as well? Like if you really thought there was no RF, it automatically gets a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Was that helpful? So you written down all these rules that we talked about last week? Okay. So that when you go to publish...
Yeah.
I'm serious. When you go to publish, you know, the people are going to ask you what kind of code book did you follow. And so you'll have that. Kind of like in the back of the Kermit and...
Carlson
article. They have that one page appendix. You're going to need something like that too. So, and that's where these kinds of rules would go, because they're rules that really aren't in this manual, because they're related to, we're coding something different. We're coding psychotherapy sessions, not the AAI. So we need something like that. Treats. Isn't that very behavioral though, Deb?
I don't care.
You want a treat. What kind of treats are we going to be getting?
I'm allergic to kosher food.
Oh! Ouch. Wow.
Specifically,
your classmates know that about you?
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty then. So you got my email messages. What I do in the very early stages of training, I don't do this, but in the mid stages of training, I actually calculate the means of everybody's correlations with everybody else. So because there were 6 of you, it's 5 correlations per person. I take the mean, and then I put them in an email message, and Melissa's very familiar with that from the Chris and Giacomo coding team. And it just gives you a sense of where you're at and how reliable you are with your teammates. So Melissa's quite reliable. And so is Deb, and not surprisingly, you two are the elder statesmen here, along with Deb Chu. So I wouldn't expect that level with second years. You just don't have that as much experience. And also, Melissa has the advantage of having been on a previous coding team with me and has coded RF in the past, so that makes sense. So what we want to do, though, is to increase our reliabilities to be around where Melissa is. And so I thought what we would do is like take another 2 or 3 weeks and continue working and then starting with the real sample.
Okay.
How does that sound? We still have, this is our, I believe this is our fourth practice. Yes, it's our fourth practice, and we have six left. We don't have to burn through them all. We could begin earlier, but we do have six left that we could practice on. It's not like we're going to be running out of practice transcripts anytime soon. But, you know, I think for everybody's sake, the sooner we finish training and go into the real sample, the better off everybody's going to be. Now, you all know Brianna Blake. She's coding RF in her sample of eating disorder patients. And I thought that as soon as we finish with Deb's sample, this team could continue coding for Brianna. And if that goes into the summer beyond, I have some grant money I could pay everybody to continue if that's something you'd be interested in. So it is going into the summer, but on the other hand, you'd be making some money. In addition to, I mean, you're all making money supposedly now, right? You're getting a research assistantship. But of course, that runs out at the end of the semester, the spring semester. So, you know, to keep the team together to help out Brianna, you know, I would continue paying everybody out of my grant. If that sounds like something you'd all be interested in. Yes for you. 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 You're not going to be here anymore. And you're going to be around, right?
Yeah,
that sounds exciting. Yeah, I'm going to be here for a while. Huh?
I have a lot of school left, so.
All right, so I would probably pay you as well out of the grant, even though you're not actually coding, because you guys are doing a very useful thing by basically structuring and formatting the transcript so that these guys can code. So, and then you're going to be involved in what I'm doing now, and at some point I have to get together with you and show you exactly how I prepare the output document that everybody gets. What you might do in the meantime is to find out, I haven't found out definitively whether IT has come over to load, to reinstall SPSS. Oh, okay, so it doesn't, all right, so you have it. So I just need to get together with you at some point and show you how to do that. I'll do that before the end of the semester. So you can take over for me. So, having said all that, let's entertain questions and comments about this week's coding. Now, where is the word block? There's a 3.
Right,
2. And then where's the 1? There it is. Okay. Maybe you could do what Tina did and just, like, take those superscripts and blow them up in a much bigger point size.
No more pages.
Huh?
No more pages.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're a Word community here,
yeah,
so.
I lately put it on my dad's computer and it was completely off. I was just like, well, this is what they're talking about. I guess they don't have words they call.
Yeah, probably just the Pages uses a different algorithm than Word. So if we all use Word, we won't encounter that problem. Yeah, that's fine. So we got the transcript, we've got correlations, and then we have people specific ratings, and I still haven't replaced my laser pointer yet. I'm so sorry. I know that's really something you look forward to. So maybe if anyone has a particular word block that was difficult or painful, you know, we can talk about that. Otherwise, we can look at the scores, the ratings, and see where people really varied, and then talk about that word block. Either way, I have a feeling that there won't be any need to make a choice. You've already made the choice. You don't have any specific word blocks that you had that you really struggled with.
I can't,
you mean like if you just looked at the word block by itself or even in the context of the rest of the session just didn't make sense to you?
Yeah, in the larger context, it's mainly just when trying to code one where you kind of be like, oh, okay, where are we going or which person is saying, not that it matters who is saying it because we still code it, but I know some of them are just like, having trouble following it. So there were a couple where you've got to reread it a lot to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, you know, in therapy, especially with a patient and therapist who work together for a long time, they kind of develop a shorthand for speaking sometimes. And you know, all a patient has to do is say, remember the Bay of Pigs incident, you know? And, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then they talk about something related to some incident that they had both talked about several months or years ago, you know? But to an outside observer, it makes no sense at all. And Freud even made that comment in one of his papers, that to an outsider, you know, psychoanalysis is crazy talk. You know, it only makes sense to the two people who are engaged in the conversation in that moment. So you're coming as an outsider. You don't know who the therapist is. You don't know who the hell the patient is. And here these two people are coming together and you're eavesdropping on a conversation that has all this context around it, namely all the previous sessions before it, and you're coming in, you're just kind of parachuting into this conversation. You don't know what the hell's going on. So I can appreciate that. The benefit of coding these sessions like this is that actually this all that context is noise. It's what we call error variance, and it means that it has really nothing to do with your task at hand. And that's why we're actually going to take all of the word blocks in all of the real sessions, and we're going to cut them up, and we're going to mix them all up together, and you're going to be coding a word block that's divorced from anything else around it to avoid. I mean, it's even going to sound crazier, but really it's going to help you to put blinders on and to see, I am only coding for RF. That's all I care about. Is RF here? And context, in that sense, becomes less important, I'm hoping.
Could that be the problem with how we factor in whether things are confusing to follow or not well-developed if we can't tell if it's one person speaking or the back and forth?
Well, you should be able to tell who's speaking, right? Oh, okay. And you can't tell sometimes whether it's a therapist or a patient talking?
Sometimes it's hard. Yeah, because the other is like, it doesn't matter if we know one's the patient and one's the therapist. It wouldn't make a difference, but sometimes you can't tell if it's the same person continuing on or if it's another person talking.
Okay, what about this? What if this adds a little bit of work to our work study students? You know, you're going to be taking out the P's and T's, but what if you bolded the T's? So every time there's the therapist is talking, you bold that. Yeah, then take out the T's. Right.
So take out the P's too, right?
Yeah. Just do what you're doing, except with the therapist language. Just bold it. How's that sound? Would that solve the problem? And we'll do that with the real sample as well when we get there. Does that make sense, Dave? So there are no extraneous letters of the alphabet in there, but you still will be able to recognize. And is the CRF It doesn't matter whether you bold or not. Does Merger and Thaler have a rule about that? Okay.
My CRM is a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. I have to separate every apostrophe for that. So I can always change it anyway.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. So we will make that modification. Thank you for bringing that up. And what else? You know, before that idea came to me, I thought, technically it doesn't matter, right? Because we're coding RF regardless of who's responsible, whether it's a therapist or the patient. We're coding RF anyway, but if you guys feel it's easier to understand the word block, knowing who's speaking, then we'll do that. We'll do that. So the bold is the therapist, not the patient. I picked the therapist because it's less text to bold for you guys. So. Okay. Any word blocks that were problematic or especially challenging or we struggled with?
I would say it was what we did before. Helpful would be the ones where we were most
aggressive. Yeah, that's the alternative. I just wanted to give people an opportunity. If they had a word block that they remembered that was particularly challenging, we could talk about it. So let's...
5, 13.
Yeah, 13. Let's look at 13. We had a 6 there by our star coder, so I'm interested to hear about this. So, a situation where you feel this wrong attraction to me? My goodness, that came up early, didn't it? Early, and then out the door. I trust you. I also think I tend to give you more credit for whatever improvement I see in myself. I'm angry at myself. Yeah, and you know what else you do? There's something wrong with that statement. There's something wrong with a whole lot of this, because one of the biggest problems that occurs is when you don't like me, you stop being good. Well, I haven't stopped being good. You haven't stopped liking me either. I don't anticipate that relationship occurring. You will have a positive regard for me even when we terminate. This is true. It's always difficult to tell what's going to happen in the future. Why? Why don't you want to terminate? That will mean that you... Okay, so... Let's... So Deb says, I trust you. I also think I tend to give you more credit for whatever improvement I see in myself. I'm angry at myself. Right? And then Melissa didn't write anything here. I mean, Michelle didn't write anything here. You wrote some for some of them, but not for, okay. All right, so that comes up right near the beginning of the word block. How about when you don't like me, you stop being good? Is that also codable? That leapt out at me. How about... I don't anticipate that relationship occurring.
Are you sure to pick one?
Everything that is codable, and then what you do is code each separate instance of RF, and then pick the highest rating, and that's your rating for the word block. Does everybody understand that, what we're doing? So there might be, I don't know, 7 different instances of reflective functioning in the 150-word word block. Rate them all. And then whatever is your highest score, that's the score for that word block. And we're going to have to include that in your method section, how we did that. So, Deb, are you saying that this section here that you included is that's the highest rated instance of RF, which was a 4 for you? Okay. Did I miss any?
I have also at the beginning, the situation where you feel this, when you go after the strong attraction to me.
So you feel the strong attraction to me.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yep. I would agree.
And also at the very end, why don't you want to terminate?
Why don't you want to terminate?
Well,
it's why don't you want to terminate?
Or why don't do you want to terminate?
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's more questionable, I think. But we have plenty prior to that to code. And then we go to the manual. Now, Deb found 4.2.5 as the culprit. So, evaluate mental states from the point of view of its impact on the behavior of self and or other. I also think I tend to give you more credit for whatever improvement I see in myself. So the credit is relating to the improvement, which is the behavioral component, right?
Yes.
I'm angry at myself. Okay. So I see that. Do people see where Deb's coming from on that? Did you have? There is some inter-rater reliability on the category and the subcategory of RF. We both understand it's RF, or we all understand it's RF, and we all understand that, deserves to be rated, all right? So it gets, automatically, it's a score greater than 1. But then the question becomes, what kind of a score do we assign? And we have some differences of opinion among the group on that. So the differences are... Deb J, 5, Kimmy, 3.5, Melissa, 6, which is the high point. Deb C is a 4, Aaron is a 3, and yes, you're also a 3. I didn't mean to alienate you from the rest of the group. So we're really going from 3 to 6. That's quite large. What I like to see is differences of 1 at the most. So when you have differences of 3, that's problematic, and that's what lowers inter-rater reliability. So the mean score is probably, for this item, word block is probably around a 4.5 or 4, something like, probably a 4. So that would be Deb would be right in the middle of everybody. It's the extreme scores that need to justify themselves.
Well, I had quite a few different, I don't know what we're calling them, the rules of like the numbers, like 4.2. Whatever.
Yeah.
I also had the whole thing was a 4.4, which is the mental state relationship to the interviewer, like all the back and forth that they were doing.
That's quite true.
So
that's the fourth category that we don't see very often, but you're highlighting it, and that's true here.
And then also showing that there's a limitation of insight into what the other person is thinking. So like when they were asking questions about feeling this wrong attraction to me, or why don't you want to terminate, or will you have a positive regard for me? So I felt that they kind of went through a lot of different areas of mental states, I guess, like different categories of what we're looking at.
Absolutely, and certainly 4.1.1, the opaqueness of mental states. Like, will you have a positive regard for me even when we terminate? I don't know what you're thinking. You may or may not. I don't know. I can't read your mind. So, yes.
So I felt because there was sort of, even though it was frequent, I felt like there was a little more depth to it, that also their mental state is influencing how they're interpreting what the other person is thinking or doing, with that I trust you, I also kind of give you more credit for it, who I see myself. That was kind of surprising to me, that statement. Mm-hmm. I know that's something to consider when you're reading on higher score.
Now, which one is it?
That's the one that I trust you, that both have kind of.
Okay, so I trust you. I also think I tend to give you more credit for whatever improvement I see in myself. I'm angry at myself. You felt that that was somewhat surprising?
Yeah.
What was surprising about it?
I guess that they were interpreting that their own mental state has an effect on the relationship and how they're seeing what they're doing in this relationship, their behavior in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I know the manual does say, like, a 5, you have to have at least 3 instances warranting a 5, so,
You mean for a 7?
No, for a 5. 3 instances warranting a 5. I guess I just gave it a 6 because I felt like the instances were in all different categories, so I felt like there was some depth there.
All right, so let's read the category, 5 anchor point. It says, definite or ordinary RF. Response must contain some feature which makes reflection explicit. So that is to say, an explicit reference to the nature or properties of mental states, how mental states relate to behavior, or mental states in relation to the interviewer. We have that. Not be a cliche, though it does not need to reflect sophistication. I didn't hear any cliches here. And then 3, the response may show evidence of one of the 6 features listed below for assigning a rating of 7 in the context of a very simple observation of mental states which would otherwise rate only a 3. And we look at the 6 features below, and one is it's sophisticated, meaning at least 2 categories of qualities which suggest moderate to high RF. And we've identified at least 2 categories, right? Mental states of the interviewer and the nature of mental states. So it's 4.1 and 4.4. So that show evidence of at least of one of the 6 features. So already I'm thinking a 5. Now you have to argue for a 6. Mm-hmm. Why a 6 rather than a 5?
Mm-hmm. I guess I took that main sentence you were talking about as almost like a causal, but like not quite causal. Sort of like I trust you, and I tend to give myself more credit for whatever improvement I see in myself, and then I'm angry at myself. So, it's like almost a causal thing. There's not the connections between all of the statements that would make it so explicitly causal. So that's why I bumped it up a little bit because of that. Because I know that's a criterion for a 7.
Yeah, so I'm asking, why didn't you score it a 7?
Because I didn't think it was quite causal. It wasn't explicitly stating a causal sequence. I think the person was trying to get there, but it wasn't as well thought out and elaborated on as it would have been to be a 7. Mm-hmm.
Let me just read these other categories for the 7 rating. Is unusual or surprising, casting an original perspective, which is nonetheless readily understandable. Oh, that's debatable. Mm-hmm. I don't know how surprising it is. Is complex or elaborate, described in unusual detail with indication that multiple mental states attributed to a person are considered in relation to one another. This isn't in any unusual detail. Places mental states within a causal sequence. Subject considers how the mental states arose, how they influence behavior, and what impact they have on subsequent perceptions, beliefs, and desires. I don't think it rises to that. Provides evidence of an interactional perspective, outlining interactions of mental states between two people or within one person's mind. That, I think, probably, because there, you know, this patient is hypothesizing what the therapist might be thinking or feeling about him or her. That's very sophisticated, I think. I mean, as sophistication goes. Contains an acknowledgement of a particularly painful situation with appropriate thoughts and feelings. I don't think this is particularly painful. So it has maybe a couple of instances where you could say marked RF. So I think you've made a case for a 6. Anyone want to argue against that? I mean, Melissa says 6. She just made the argument. Now, some of you argued for a 3. Aaron. And I don't know, Michelle, what was yours? So you two argued for a 3. So do you want to place a counter argument? Yeah, chemistry. So she wasn't the low score, but. What's that?
After hearing most of the arguments, I could definitely see higher. I think I went 3.
So you're just going to capitulate to Melissa?
Yeah.
Wow, to the upperclassmen.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the reflexive functioning. I think this is one I sat with for a while, and so that's why I was 3. So,
all right. Together. What do you think, Michelle?
Kind of
I also use it as I trust you.
I think I can give you more credit. I'm angry at myself. Kimmy,
what about you?
Yeah, after reading it again, I really don't know why I put it 3.5. If I were to just read it now, I would automatically think it's higher. So after going through it, I would rate it a 5.
I could go with 5 or 6. I probably would have rated a 5 myself, but Melissa makes a very compelling argument for a 6. I wouldn't do a 7. Definitely wouldn't do a 7.
I think I had 5 or 6 on this one. I just bumped it up because it was. I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
So something I'm confused about is picking one to code, sort of. I think that might be a reason that has to do with not being reliable, because some of the higher, like I've been giving a few more 5s than other people and 6s that most people aren't giving, but I think because to get those higher ratings, you have to have multiple categories, and if people are only coding one, they're not going to consider like that caveat.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, that you know, you code every instance of RF in a word block, and you pick the highest score for that word block, and that's the score you send to me then on Wednesday evening by 10 o'clock. I mean, Tuesday evening by 10 o'clock, yeah. Not later. Does that help? Everybody got that? Yeah.
I feel like I'm given like two ideas, or a couple, I always temper them lower after what we talked about, where you were saying like you only scored a 6. So I think
it's not
feeling
like
a 6. I mean, you scored a 6.
But that was my global score. You know, within my interview, I had some 7s. I had some 8s. You know, but it was bounced against maybe some 3s and 4s too. And so when you're coding an AAI, the global score for me was a 6. That doesn't mean that that was the only score. I had some higher scores.
Yeah,
come on now. But so what we're doing is we're picking the highest score from that word block.
Yeah.
And that highest score from that word block might be the lowest score that the person gets on the entire transcript. Right?
Like, for this person's verbal score would probably be like a 3 or 4. You know, once you look at all of the word
block. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Melissa's scores alone, the 6 that she gave, that was the highest score of the entire interview. But she also gave a 2. She assigned a 2 for the word block number 1. So that 2 might have been the highest rating in that word block. She might have given a 1 or maybe even a 0 for other RF in that word block. But 2 was the highest score of that word block. But in the context of the entire transcript, that's fairly low given the rest of her scores, which are mostly looks like 5s, but she did assign a 6 on word block 13. Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking that.
I mean, I'm also,
that's why I would say go lower overall. And you can have the highs and lows, but thinking that way.
You know, ultimately, we're going to be analyzing the data in a couple of different ways, but one of the ways is that we're just going to take the mean score for each transcript, and then we're going to reanalyze the data using the high score of each transcript. So we take Melissa's, that 6 will be a number that we would enter into the overall database when we do the analyses. A third way of analyzing the data will be that each word block is going to be sequenced. And so we'll have this big sequence. So, you know, like the database includes 5 patients. Each patient will have a minimum of 20 sessions. So, you know, let's say each transcript has 30 word blocks. So for the patient who has 20 sessions and averaging 30 word blocks, that's 600 data points. So we're also going to analyze the data that way. So 3 ways we're going to be analyzing the data. Exciting. better take notes in Camilo's class. Oh, you took it. Okay. Hope you did well. It's the retention. So does that help understand the like overarching goal here? So, you know, picking the highest RF in the word block is going to help us a lot, and we're going to be analyzing the data ultimately. But the highest score might be a low score given the rest of the transcript. All right.
Another one is 22.
22. Four, 3, 5, 2, 2, and 4. So the discrepancy is 5 and 2. So once again, Melissa's out front with the high score, and Deb C and Aaron are on the low end. This is 22. And Aaron, you've already explained why you're on the low end of things, so I get that. Let me read this. Don't think that there is any current need to say that there is one reason why anybody does any one thing. I'm trying to point out to you that, you know, because at one time in your life, or even now, or even recently, you have a desire for women, or else that's the... I don't see anything that spells out that that is your lifestyle, and that that is your reaction to certain things, and what I see is you running in the other direction instead of taking care of what's happening when it comes to sexual expression, and... I disagree with you at this point. Why? Because if there was anything that sort of, you know, I say blindly let me into that situation with that woman in DT, all I can think of is that it was just part of the whole mess when. Right, is that the correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Melissa, you want to walk us through the different parts of RF?
So, right at the very beginning, I underlined almost that whole section where it says, don't think there's any current need to say that there's any one reason why anybody does one thing. I thought that was the normative judgment piece.
What number is that then?
4.1.4.
Yes, correct. 4.1.4.
And then, because at one point in your life, or even now, or even recently, you have a desire, you have a desire for women, or else that's the, I don't see anything that fills out that is your style. So I thought that was like a developmental, like, trajectory, like the desire was the mental state, and at one point, like, from the past to the present and to the future, I don't see anything that spells out that that is your style, saying that this is going to continue.
Mm-hmm. So that's 4.3.4?
Yeah.
Envisioning changes of mental states between past and present and future, right?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So that's where I gave my highest rating. I mean, I had other stuff too.
Go ahead.
I disagree with you at this point. So I thought that was like either separateness of minds, which has to do with 4.4.1. Like 4.1 at the very end, like mental states in relation to the interviewer. But.
You mean 4.4?
Yeah, but right under it, it says
4.4.1. Okay. 4.4.1. Yep.
yeah.
Okay, so three instances of RF. Which one was the highest?
I wasn't sure where it sort of ended in that first thing, because it was, well, I guess there was a figure there. I don't know. I kind of lumped all that beginning into one sort of thing and gave it a 5.
Okay.
I don't know.
So, like, three different instances.
Yeah.
All right, so let's read the anchor points. So you thought there was some feature which made reflection explicit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There were three different.
Yeah.
Okay. And shows that evidence of one of the six features listed below for assigning a rating of 7. One of the six features. I don't think it was particularly sophisticated, but it met at least two categories of qualities which suggest moderate to high RF, right? I don't think it was unusual or surprising. I don't think it was complex or elaborate. Places mental states within a causal sequence. Not really. Provides evidence. Everybody see where I'm at? Page 42. Provides evidence of an interactional perspective, outlining interactions of mental states between two people or within one person's mind. I disagree with you at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that would be a yes. Mm-hmm. Contains an acknowledgement of a particularly painful situation? No. So there were two different categories identified here. Actually, three.
Mm-hmm.
There was 4.1, 4.3, and 4.4. That's pretty impressive. And then there was evidence of an interactional perspective. It definitely would qualify as a 5. I don't think it rises to the level of a 6. That's probably why Melissa didn't give it a 6.
Yeah, I don't think it was sophisticated enough. It was still kind of like uncertain a little bit.
Does that make sense for people? I'm curious about the the word blocks that were you guys felt were uncodable and how you guys did with that. So, Deb, I think you, I looked at yours before I came down here, or came up here, and you had, so you didn't code word block 1, 8, 23 is a question mark, and then the last three.
I just thought it was just like talking about scheduling.
Yeah.
And just very basic.
All right, so one, some people did code it. Most people coded it. But, except for Kimmy, everybody coded it really low, which means that your reliability is still good. And then eight, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, and... two. So everybody was on there. And then the last, what, 23, you had a question mark.
No, I said one.
Hmm?
I think I said one. Oh, no, I just wasn't sure about which category I guess that fell under. But the last...
Oh, okay, so it wasn't uncodable.
Yeah,
all right, got gotcha. You.
27, 28, 29.
So we have 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2 and a half, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, and Michelle's 2, 1, 1. So that seemed to work out really well. I was worried about that. That seemed to work out really well. Kimmy, you were a little bit on the high end on some of those that were considered uncodable by Deb anyway. You,
I guess, yeah,
for
a specific one, I'm looking at the first one.
Wait, word block one?
One word block one.
Okay. Oops.
And the only two that I, well, I have one. I've been having it this whole time. And one
I've been having a difficult time. Okay, and that's, is that the statement that you felt warranted a 3.5?
I'm trying to go through the criteria for my thesis, and that's what I think now. I thought that it met the first criteria, contained some suggestion of mobilizing efforts on the part of the subject.
So that would be which category?
Oh, under three.
Oh, anchor point three.
Or
okay.
Yeah.
So if it's questionable RF, what category would you say that would fall under? Of the four categories, nature of mental states, developmental aspects of mental states, mental states with regard to the interviewer, or explicit effort to tease out mental states underlying behavior.
I think the last one, explicit
effort to tease out mental states. Okay, so that's 4.2. So, given that, how is that teasing out mental states underlying behavior?
I think, so she's talking about not being prepared, not packing, and that she's having...
okay, now, let me stop you right there. How do you know she's packing?
Well, she said Trump's not packed.
Oh! Packed! Where, is that in word block one or two?
Oh.
All right. You know, when that door closes on the word block, that's it. You can't rely. You know, when we're going to be coding a real sample, you're only going to have a word block in front of you. You're not even going to have the remainder of the session there. You're just going to have the 150 words, so you're not going to have that. That's like a crutch. And what it does is, if you rely on that crutch, it's going to mess up your reliability, because everybody else is not going to be looking at the word packed. They're going to pretend it's not there. All right? But the other issue is, well, do other people agree that that's mentalizing? I've been having a difficult time. Now, you did score something in that word block.
Don't you remember? At the beginning.
Don't you remember I told you?
Yeah.
So, and that would be...
Limitation of insight, 4.1. it was like
4.1.3
barely. That's why I gave it two and not a three.
Yes. What did you think about it? I've been having a difficult time.
No, because it could be like I have a difficult time lifting this box. It's heavy.
You understand that, Kimmy? So, Deb J and Aaron also scored a two. Which part of this word block did you hone in on when you scored it?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I still got a two. But I put that as 4.1.
How is that tied to normative judgment?
Like, she's been saying 14%, she's been saying her son is going off to campus next week. I thought that was like,
well, it's in relation to what?
The son leaving.
But normative judgment is a judgment about yourself or another person in comparison with like the rest of society or the rest of your community.
Yeah.
I don't see that there. Let's review that. I want to go there. The page numbers in the table of contents don't match the page numbers in the text. It's very confusing. I don't know why. Let's see. Okay. Mentalizing capacity is indicated by the awareness of an expectable psychological response. When an individual refers to what would be a commonly expected reaction in a specific situation, this is rated as evidence of reflective function. For example, I started staying out at night, and he became quite authoritarian like fathers do. But I think all fathers, so now we're talking about the community of fathers, the population of fathers. All fathers get anxious about their daughters when they sort of start rebelling. How would you rate that? It's a four. Very good. There's often a sense of forgiveness implied by such statements, but this aspect is not rated. For example, it was understandable that my mother would feel jealous of me because of my close relationship with my father. It was understandable, meaning that any normal, breathing, living person would understand that
my mother would feel jealous of me because I was really close to my dad. That also is a four, by the way.
All right. People getting the hang of this? All right. So, what are some other word blocks that people struggled with? I'm looking here.
12,
Well, Aaron partially explained her twos just by misunderstanding of the rules, but what was Michelle? Michelle was a 4-2. So Aaron was the outlier on 12, but I think we understand.
I also saw on, I think 22 and 24.
Right. But 24? let's see, 24. Three, three, four, four, two. And what was Michelle? Three. So, again, Aaron was the outlier, but I think we understand that. Any others that stand out?
Yeah. Just to clarify,
yeah.
I understand, like, looking at each block and then picking the highest one. But it seems like, for example, the 22, the one that we went over before, it seems like we kind of took, well, that Melissa took like a little bit of that whole first, like, paragraph and kind of, like, lumped it together a little bit, which is why the maps were a little bit higher.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. So if the patient is using RF from different categories, you need to consider that because under anchor point 7 on page 42, it says, is sophisticated. Okay, what does sophisticated mean? The way that Fonagy is defining sophisticated is if it's meeting at least two categories of qualities which suggest moderate to high RF. So in this word block, are there two or more categories being ticked off, meaning 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, or 4.4? In the word block that we're talking about, word block 22, I count three different categories used in that.
Just that.
In just that one word block, there are three categories being used: nature and awareness of mental states, ability to tease out or differentiate mental states underlying behavior, and the mental states in relation to the interviewer, in this case, the therapist. That's three different categories. The only one not being represented here is the developmental states, or the developmental aspects of mental states. That's not represented here. So three of the four, that's pretty good. So I'm thinking, geez, you know, that's kind of sophisticated. Right. Now, if there were more of these, exactly, then you want to think about a 6 or possibly a 7. Does that make sense? So that's where you would look at the amalgamation of the different aspects of RF in a 150-word block, and you want to take them as a group. Otherwise, you just rate each one on its own merits. Okay? So I think that's, is that how you looked at it, Melissa? These are good questions. You know, we need to be clear on this, because the clearer that we all are, the more that we think alike, the better it is for Deb over here.
But what
Deb C is talking about is that if there are examples of RF in a word block,
yeah,
and you know, each one might be relatively low or questionable, like a 3. But together, if each one represents a different category of mental states, 4.1, 4.2, 4.3, 4.4, then it might overall bump up the word block, the overall word block rating to possibly a 5.
Right.
But didn't we discuss last week? Yeah, I guess it's hard, because if there are four different ones, how do you know which one was the highest? But if there are four different four subtypes, how do you know which one was the highest? But I thought, this came up last week, I thought, there was no exact science to it.
It's not exactly it.
Yeah. You know, it makes sense also to bump that up if you have multiple fours.
But fours in different categories. Yeah. If it's all in the same category, then you just pick the highest example or instance of RF in that word block. Mm-hmm. But if you've got three different categories going in one word block, to me that that reflects a higher score.
Okay.
Would you agree with that, Melissa?
Yeah, I guess, and I think that's one of the criteria to get a higher score is like it has to have two or more categories, three or more categories.
Right, that's on page 42 under marked RF.
And why is that important? Because to consider even if it's a 5, because under 5, ordinary RF, it says show evidence of one of the six features listed below, that's under anchor point 7, for assigning a rating of 7 in the context of a very simple observation of mental states, which would otherwise rate only a 3.
See it. That makes sense? So, if there are a lot, if it's a fairly sophisticated, explicit reflection, you're going to think 7, and you're going to look at the different criteria under number 2, 7, note number 2. If it's not that explicit, not that sophisticated, you're thinking ordinary RF, right? And if it's fairly simplistic or very simple observation, you're thinking about a 3. But a 3 in the context of something in the 7 under one of these six aspects would make it a 5.
It may sound a little like gibberish. Right? If you're thinking if it's questionable, not questionable, yeah, if it's kind of questionable or simplistic, but it contains some of these six aspects under 7, in the context of the simplicity of it, then it gets a 5.
So we're really dealing with 3s, 5s, and 7s here in thinking about this. 1 is absent RF. 0 or negative 1 is like anti-RF. 2 is it's not absent. There's something there, but it's even lower than questionable.
Right. So.
Two is if you think there might be some, there's a hint of an RF. You hear the sound of the echo of an RF. The faint heartbeat of an RF. It's just barely alive. And that gets a 2.
What if they said something, for instance, like in word block 23, there was other stuff, but like just the sentence, I was so startled. Would you say that's a 2 or 3?
I was so startled.
Or I was so anything, you know, like that's an emotion.
Would you, well, I was so bland. That would be.
I guess anything that's a mental state. Like I was so sad. Would that be a 3?
What did we do in the Buscaino-Keller
coding? I don't remember. That's why I was wondering if that would be an easy rule to have.
Like strictly a feeling.
Yeah, like I am so, and that's the only thing that
comes. I mean, I'm inclined to give it a 2. I have all the previous codings from that team.
Is that something that we considered can, which is.
You mean like I am so.
Yeah, I
think
that there's nothing else
going on
in the
word
block.
Didn't that happen last week where the word block was split? Because I was still in the next word block.
Yeah, but I think we were wondering if, like, you heard of put it, like, if you quote both.
I would put it as, like, a two.
But if we can come up with a bowl for it,
right,
you know, then it would be just.
Then we should, yeah. I think the more rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking over. I don't have the actual raw data here, but I do have the ratings of the team from 2 years ago, and Some, I mean, people did use the rating of 2. It was a used rating. But you know what I'm noticing is that there were no half ratings at all.
Yeah.
So let's eliminate the half ratings. All right. So no half ratings. You have plenty of opportunities to make a decision about. You know, really, it's the even numbers or the, I mean, the odd numbers are the real ratings, and the even numbers are supposed to be like the half ratings.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. So let's eliminate the 0.5s. That should also help us with reliability, I think. Any other questions?
Do we have to decide a decision on whether something like that, I am so X, would be a 2 or a 3?
A 2, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have to look at, you know, a questionable RF is containing some suggestion of mentalizing efforts on the part of the subject, which is nevertheless devoid of any element that makes reflective functioning explicit. Never reflects mixed emotions, conflict, or uncertainty about beliefs and feelings of others. Response may frequently make use of mentalizing mental state language without making clear or explicit the subject genuinely understands the implications of their statement. Appear somewhat cliche, banal, superficial, or canned. Be excessively deep and detailed, yet unconvincing and or irrelevant to the task. So I think, I mean, given that, I mean, a 2 or 3 would be fine, but I think a 2, it's just a feeling.
Yeah.
Hey. We're just ending.
I was locked out.
You were locked out?
Yeah, someone just let me in. A little.
You were out there for an hour and 15 minutes?
No, I sat up loudly in the bathroom.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry you were locked out. So, any questions? So, Tina, Jessica, and Arlene are going to work on the next transcript and send it all to you guys relatively soon. Right? And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.